Good morning, y'all. Let's get it going. Here it is. Q&A day with Corinne. So I'm going to teach a little bit and then we are going to do question and answer. Let me get all of my shit together on my screen so I can see y'all's questions. Pull up the chat just in case y'all are chatty, which let's just be honest, y'all are chatty. Let's see. Promote Coach Lisa so she can help me out with questions. There we go. All right. And then let me pull up my notes. I am so prepared today. I'm just proud of me. Here I am getting everything set up really quick. All right. Do not forget. So I want to talk a little bit. Last week, y'all got to watch my training on the new assessment. And I just wanted to kind of just reiterate the reason why I built out this assessment. One of the things that I watch a lot of you do is your weight loss will stall out. Let me just tell you the history behind it. I was really thinking about why so many people stall out. And there's always like a thought reason. So we always have like a legit reason. You either hit your window, like a lot of times when we first start, the changes that you're going to make, the level ups that you're going to make, all the little shifts and stuff, they're not really frying out your nervous system. They're uncomfortable, but they're not like, oh my God, bringing up tons and tons of drama. Eventually you lose enough weight making those level of changes to where now you actually have to work on more of the emotional eating. You actually are going to have, like I was just working with someone in Facebook who was talking about how she had identified, she has three main reasons why she overeats. Sometimes it's stress, like she catches herself stress eating. Sometimes it is the food tastes so good. So it's not when she's stressed, she's just eating something she enjoys. And then like another time is when she's with her family, she doesn't want to stop eating because she is tying it to the connection. So she has lost quite a bit of weight, but her weight has been stalled for a few months. And those three things are what she's like, this is what's standing in my way. I don't know what to do. I don't know why anything's not working. I just keep flip-flopping, blah, 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 blah. So her brain is like thinking she can't lose weight instead of thinking, oh, this is the part of weight loss where I actually have to start stretching my thoughts and my emotions. And that is why I created this assessment, because what I watch a lot of you do is you'll stall out and you just keep trying to double down on making the same plans, doing the same discovery worksheets, looking at the same excuses over and over again, trying to just like, I'm just making sure I'm stopping at enough and whatever, but you'll notice there's these patterns and you're not working on the patterns. You're like, I just got to do the four basics better. Look, you do not need to do the four basics any better. You're already doing the four basics. What's happening is the patterns are now emerging that are like, I got to solve the root cause of these patterns so that I can more easily stop it enough. So that I can wait for hunger without panicking. So I created the assessment to start really zoning in and asking you questions that go a lot deeper than what most of you are trying to do. And let me just say this, because I think there was a little bit of confusion and I want to clear it up. There is the habit tracker. The habit tracker is not an assessment. The habit tracker is literally just, I did it or I didn't. That's it. It's not giving you any insights necessarily into the patterns. What the habit tracker does is it highlights where do I need to assess deeper? So for example, if you have your habit tracker and you notice that, you know, you're pretty consistent with making plans, like you're like 80, 90% on making plans, but 50% of the time, your bitch ass ain't following them. The habit tracker's job is to say, now you need to spend next month paying attention to what are the patterns that have you breaking that plan. So this month, if we want to follow the plan more, guess what we got to do? We need to at least spend a little time, like really diving in. Maybe you go back and you look at all your discovery worksheets. Maybe you go back and you look at each day of your assessment and be like, what are the reasons why I break my plan? What's going on there? So you identify those in short, simple sentences. Literally, that's all you got to do. A short, simple sentence of like, on this day, I broke my plan because friends invited me out to eat. Oh, I also did that 3 other times this month. So now we know like 4 times out of the month, I broke my plan because other people invited me out to eat. Then you notice you break your plan because say the food goes bad in your refrigerator. And you're like, 6 times this month. By the time I got to the food that I said I would eat, it had gone bad. That's good to know. So let's just take those 2 examples. So once you find like, these are some of the patterns, you just pick one. If you want to pick 2, you can, but you start with 1 and you think, what is the easiest one to like dig into? What needs to change for me to get better at breaking that pattern that I have unearthed? So let's say it's like, you know what would be the easiest one for me? It's when the food goes bad. What's going on to where by the time I'm going to eat what I said I would, the food's gone bad? Maybe it's I shouldn't really expect that I'm going to want leftovers. Even though I think I should eat them, my work is to do this, to stop thinking I'm going to want leftovers and planning that. So now I want to plan in a new way where I can follow it and it does work with weight loss. Because if I notice my pattern is when my food goes bad, I break my plan, I say, fuck it, I'm just going to order pizza. It would be better for me to realize I'm going to need to get over wasting food, because what I really want to do is make plans that are going to help my weight loss. So the best plan for me would be like, I will plan on these days, if I'm going to be an Uber Eats girl, what is the best way for me to eat Uber Eats in a way that works with weight loss? And I work on that for a month. So for all of you, it's really important for you to understand how the habit tracker and the deep dive assessment now, how they actually work together. We do our habit tracker because it's like the big alert. It's like going, like if you're going down the highway and they're working on the road, the habit tracker is like the detour signs. It's like, detour, this month I noticed you were breaking your plan 50% of the time. We need to take a detour. We need to go find a new path to get us back on the highway so that we're at 80 to 90% following. Then your assessment is like the directions. It's where you're looking, you're resetting your GPS, you're figuring out what streets you're going to need to turn on and stuff. But what I watch most of you do is you're like, fuck detours. I shouldn't need a detour. I don't care if the bridge is out. I'm going to just double down on my basics. And you slam on the gas and you close your eyes holding the steering wheel for the month, hoping that it's going to work. Guess what happens? You drive off the end of the bridge. The bridge was out. There's no way any of you are going to lose weight by not looking at what's actually going on. What are these things that I can fix? And so many of the things are easy solutions if you actually look at them. Like even if the food tastes so good, just search in the fucking no BS replays. I have done so many trainings and so many coaching on it tastes so good. You know what? If it was me and I had a hard time stopping when something tastes good, I would watch every fucking training I've done on it. Every one of them. Like when Corinne wants to solve a problem, she doesn't think that it's going to be a lot of work. You know what she thinks? I'm going to get to work. Like I'm so tired of dealing with this. I'm so sick of sitting here and every month doing the same shit over and over again. Like I'm going to find a new way to approach this, a new way to work on this. And I don't feel sorry for myself. And I don't sit around and think it should be easier. And I don't sit there and think I should get this. I just don't do that shit to myself. There's no upside to it. If I'm having a pity party, I just tell myself, you can feel sorry for yourself that you're overweight, or you can feel sorry for yourself while you're working on it. I'm going to always choose feeling sorry for myself in a way that gets my ass moving in the right direction. Now, you can always choose not to feel sorry for yourself, which is much easier, but some of you are so insistent on giving yourself two negative options. This is the no-win situation. If that's you, if you keep setting yourself up as like, well, I really hate that I'm on this stall, and the other side is like, yeah, but I'm going to really hate doing what I have to do, then choose your hatred. Stop cuddle fucking yourself. Stop waiting to feel good about it. Say, you know what I'm going to do this month? I'm going to hate working on this stall and plateau. But I am going to work on it. And I'm going to prove to myself at the end of the month that while I didn't enjoy the work of it, I for sure will enjoy not being on a stall anymore. I will enjoy not having to complain about that. I will enjoy not sitting around thinking I'm wasting my time. And if you are legit stuck, you just take it to Ask Coaches. And for those of you who are like, I've been to Ask Coaches. Have you been 100 times? Have you posted 100 straight days? If you haven't posted 100 straight days on this one thing you know you need to work on, whether that is your self-esteem, that is your habits, whatever it is, you haven't worked on it yet. You're kidding yourself. You're lying to yourself. You're indulging in pity. So let's call it what it is. And I know I'm being hard on y'all today, but God, y'all need sometimes just, it's like Moonstruck when Cher smacked someone and said, snap out of it. I'm having my Cher moment today. Do you know what doing the work is? Doing the work is where you've done it so much, no one would deny that you've done the work. Would you be proud to show me and be like, Corinne, I am legit stuck. Here's my 100 questions that I asked Ask Coaches, and here's how I documented each thing I worked on. Is your weight loss worth it? Because I'm just going to tell all of you right now, if your weight loss is not worth working like that with intensity, determination, willingness, then don't tell yourself you really want it. Tell yourself, I want it easy. Because I think we have to tell ourselves the truth. I don't think losing weight is hard. I think it's a commitment. I think it has to be a focus. It does not take tons of time, but it absolutely takes 5 minutes to post a question. And then it takes you spending 5 more minutes making that plan. And then the rest of the day, it's you against you. And I want you to remember that. The only thing standing in the way of your weight loss is you against you. It is not you against the world, you against your partner, you against your, you know, freezer full of ice cream. It's always you against whatever sentences are going to come up in your head. And the more you use the assessment and the habit tracker together, the more you're going to invite yourself to like, and what are the sentences that are stopping me? Like if something tastes so good and you know that you keep eating day after day after day because something tastes so good, you need to ask yourself, am I willing to sit there and feel deprived? Because if I'm not, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. For a lot of you, you are going to feel deprived. It doesn't mean you are deprived. And that is a huge distinction. You are going to feel deprived when you quit eating something that tastes so good because you're probably not eating it because of its taste. You're probably eating it because you're like, I deserve it. I don't lose weight easily. I should be able to eat these foods. You are eating that food. You just shouldn't be able to eat as much as you want. Your wants are skewed right now. All of you. When you think you should be able to eat all you want, you're wrong. Your wants are laced in eating to mask your feelings. Your wants are probably driving you to eat because you have low self-esteem. That's not a true want. What you really want is to feel better about yourself, but you don't know how, so you eat to compensate. So like listening to those voices is not a good idea. Hear them, but don't listen to them. Have you ever heard when somebody says, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening? Like, have you ever been in a conversation where like this happened to me the last couple of days? I have had my team in town. Like y'all, I have been on calls nonstop. I have had my team in town. They're all working outside. And so in between calls, I'm running out to be in a team meeting. I'm coming back in, doing all the things. And when I go in, it takes me a few minutes to get to where I can actually listen to what they're asking me. Because when I go in, they've got 1,000 questions. And I walk in and I hear their mouth moving, but I've not listened. I can't even tell you what they asked me. And this is the thing I want you to think about. Listen, like I want you to hear what your brain says, but I want you to listen for the hidden message. You really don't want to eat all you want. I want you to ask yourself that. Because if you want to lose weight, you have to become someone who no longer wants to eat all they want. You have to be someone who says, you know what I really want? I want to be able to eat in a way that I like while also losing weight. That's what I really want, because I want weight loss. And I want to understand why I would think that just overeating is something I should be able to do. What does it really do for me? If it makes you happy, then you need to ask yourself, where in my life am I like not creating happiness to where I'm having to find it in food? That's the only place that I can find it. This is why you're in no BS. These are the things we have to challenge you to think about. You can't just count calories anymore and think you're going to lose all your weight, change your life. You can't just go out there and do the next book, the next Weight Watcher sale, the next Noom discount, the next shake program that all your buddies are doing, and really expect that that's going to change your life. The gift and curse that I give you when you have come to know BS, the gift is that you know what the real problem is. It's figuring out that relationship with you and your food and how they're going to work together. The curse is you'll never do another diet again, and it's going to work. You won't be able to turn the voices off. You'll get some short-term gains, and then you'll gain it back. And you'll be like, yeah, because I didn't do all that fucking thought work. All right. Let me teach you what I want to teach you today, because I wouldn't admit. All right. So this week's focus is going from assessing to taking some action. So your assessment can't work unless you do some shit with it. All right. So to take some big weight loss action right now, you have to focus first. This is really important. I was just talking to the Project You people about this, and I'm going to teach you this in a brief way. One of the things, I read a book called The Gap and the Gain by Benjamin Hardy. I think it's a great book if you ever want to read something that kind of helps you think about how to just how to think about yourself in relation to goals and your life. And it's an easy read. I'm also reading this book right now. It's not for sale. It's All It Takes Is a Goal. In fact, John Acuff, many of you know John Acuff. He's like an honorary no BS woman. He's wrote several books that we've all read together in the past years, but he's wrote a new one. And as you can tell, I'm really liking it because I have like 1,000 little tabbies. and I'm almost done, but I'm interviewing him for my public podcast tomorrow. And he kind of talks about it the same way. And so when you do your assessment, I think one of the things that's really important, because you, like, in order to lose weight, you have got to be able to look at how you're doing, like the current state of affairs, in a loving way, in a beneficial way, in a way that's going to promote progress. What we can't do is keep trying to look at our assessments and think, I'm a failure, I suck, this should be better, I'm never going to get there. I want you to hear that kind of language, but I want you to recognize that that language probably has to change before you're even going to be able to stop it enough, before you're even going to be able to work on some of the stuff that you are learning from your assessment. You know how I always talk about, there's always like the real skills of weight loss. If you haven't seen that video, watch it in OBS module 4. It's called The Real Skills of Weight Loss. And in there, I talk about what they are. Well, one of the first steps for many of you before you can actually dial in your hunger signals and stuff on a more consistent basis in order to bust this dollar plateau is when you take an assessment, it should trigger your automatic thinking. And it will either sound like an asshole, like, this isn't good enough, you're never going to get there, you should have done better, I can't believe how many ones you have. How many of you, by just give me a heart emoji or any emoji, how many of you did your assessment and boohooed about how many ones you had? Yeah, you're the ones I'm talking to, bitches. You right there. Your ones are the, like, so there's those of you who beat yourself up. I'm like, oh my God, there's so many ones. I'm never going to do this way. I'm going to do calories. No, you need to journal on why. This is the question. Why is it wrong of me to think that? Why are ones good to know? Because here's the other side. This is the way Corinne, because I have a great relationship with assessments. I love an assessment. When I take an assessment, do you know what? There's two things I love to see. How much I've improved. I'm like, I want to see the parts where I'm doing good. Like, there's a part of me that can't wait for that part. I skip the parts where I'm like on the ones. Like, I'm just like, the first thing I look at is like, well, what am I doing right? Good. Look at me. And I relish in it. Then I get excited because, like, now I know what to work on. Ooh, now I know what this month is work's going to be. And no one assesses more than Corinne. There's not one hoe in this group that assesses more than I do. I assess my business. I assess my days. I assess not only how do I show up in, like, in my maintenance and my food. I do it every week. I do it every month. I do it every day. In my business, I'm doing it every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year. And I get other assessments. My marketing team sends me information every single week about how our ads are doing, what's working and what's not, what emails people like, which ones they think suck, which posts are good. My membership team, they send me satisfaction. How many people are getting through the program? How many people are in the accountability? How many people are leaving? How many people are coming? I get triggered, I would say at least 100 times a week with assessments. So I can promise you that you can develop a healthy relationship with them. And about 70% of the numbers and information I get is not great. Something's always broken, multiple places, not working the way we thought it would. We planned for this, it didn't happen. And I learned a few years ago, I went through, this is about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. I learned real quick that I was either going to have to shut my business down, and I am not joking. I had a moment where I thought about hanging all of it up because I was so fucking hard on myself. One, you can't run a business without numbers. You just can't. You can't run a business without listening to your customers. And I spent a year of my life without even telling y'all, depressed as fuck. Thinking that I was failing everyone, in terror every day that I was going to die and I had not provided for my child to live for the rest of his life without me. Fear that I was going to lose everything and to boot. And then we had about 10 people on the team that I had hired people and their livelihoods were going to be destroyed because I couldn't get my shit together. That was my entire year. It was also the year I decided I was going to have to work on my drinking because I noticed my drinking was picking up. It was right after COVID. I mean, it was a hard time. You know, I didn't share a lot of this because I was in the middle of my work. I was in the messy part of my work. No one knew but my coach and Jane just a little. I didn't even share half of it with Jane. I had shame that I didn't think any better. I had all of it. And I finally, my coach just said, Corinne, you can't run from this stuff anymore. I know how much this business means to you. You are going to have to change how you think about yourself and how you think about your assessing, or you're going to like die, or you're going to have to give it all up. That's like the only two things that are going to happen was destroying me. And this is not easy to talk about. I do share a lot with y'all, but I don't like sharing like the really private personal side of things when it comes to the business. I just don't think y'all should have to endure this stuff. And so anyway, I decided like these numbers are not talking about me. Like I really had to work on, I'm trying my best every day. Just because things don't look like their best, it doesn't mean I'm not trying. It doesn't mean that I don't keep showing up. It may be a mess and there's things I don't know and things are not working and there's lots of fear and there's lots of anxiety and stuff. But at one point, I just really had to decide this is not about me anymore. There's how I'm going to think about me and there's how I'm going to think about everything people say and everything that's happening. And I really had to pull those two things apart. So when you're doing your assessing, your ones, the way that now when I look at things, and I'm not saying I don't get triggered sometimes, I still do. Trust me, right now, I have not felt good lately. When I'm sick, like my mind is so much easier for me to not have great thoughts. I don't know what happened while I was in Florida, but I came back with a wicked stomach bug. I have just been pooping like nobody's business. this is like all the time right now. It's clearing up finally. But when I'm like that, everything makes me extra sensitive. And I know that about me. And of course, I've had to look at a lot of numbers this week. And so when I'm rested and when I'm in my right mind, when I look at my ones, I tell myself, this is great. At least now I know what to work on. This is great. Now I know what I'm going to need help on. This is what I need to go learn now. I use my ones. I use all of them as a way to chart, as a way to get into some action. The only way your assessment's going to work is if you stop making it a personal assault on yourself. And then when you see your ones, there's a few things you need to know about them. All of us have ones. When I did the assessment, I did y'all's assessment. I had a lot of ones. I did. I had a lot of things I would personally rate like, oh yeah, you're not doing that. Oh yeah, you've gotten real busy. Oh yeah, the summer, it's gotten away from you. These things are not happening. I had a lot of threes. I had a few twos. I don't want any of you thinking that the goal is to be all threes. No one needs to be all threes to lose weight. You know what you need? Truth and honesty. And you need to see what's right now, currently, your next opportunity. I don't even want you to, like, if you're okay, if your nervous system, it doesn't frazzle you, overwhelm you, or make you feel bad. If you can say, here's the things that aren't really working right now, and you can add, and I'm glad I know, then use that if that's easy for you. If that is feels like so impossible, then I want you to start now calling ones are my next steps towards weight loss. These are the things that I want to think about and figure out. What do I want to work on? What feels accessible to work on right now? What feels easy to work on? And then when you pick some, like this is what will happen. You'll have stuff on there. And even if it feels like the one you want to start with, when you look at it, it may overwhelm you. Then you just, I actually got this from John's book. Let me see if I can find it. He talks about like, and I've read this in several books, but I do love the way he says it. You're going to first with your ones, I want you to pick one that you feel is easier for you. Like it doesn't mean it is going to be easy, but you feel like, or you feel drawn to it. You feel like this is the one. I want there to be a sense of readiness in your body. Then he says, easy goals have obvious first steps. Because one of the things he talks about is starting, like, I love how he's just such an obese woman. He talks about how to get out of your comfort zone by starting with little easy goals. He breaks everything down into easy, middle, and then guaranteed goals. And you work your way through just like a no BS woman does. Like we don't start 0 to 100. What we do is we start with what's the easy low hanging fruit. And no matter where you're at in your journey, I don't care if you're halfway through on a stall, trust me, there's still low hanging fruit. Some of the things that you're going to know that you need to work on, you're going to still like somewhere in the mix is the one that seems easiest. Doesn't mean it will be easy, but for you, it's like, this is the one. I'm open to this one. And so he says, easy goals have short time frames. So all that means is like for you, if you pick one of your ones, you want to say like for the next 7 days, this is what I'm going to work on. This is what I'm going to do for the next 3 days. You know how I often tell y'all, like, if you're having a hard time stopping at enough, because like say it's dinner and you have a hard time stopping enough when you're eating with your family, because you have a lot of ideas like this is how we connect. This is like our family time. I don't want it to end. And you know that when family time ends, you're going back to the grind. It's time to wipe butts, do homework, wash dishes, whatever that is. It's like 2 to 3 more hours for you get to take a break. So for a lot of you, dinner time is the break. So, hey, y'all don't order the book just yet. Nobody pre-order either, because what I'd like to do is put it in our store and see if we can, I'd like to find out if we can get it in our store, because let me just detour and then I'll go back to the dinner story. Is the more no BS women order these books and we can track it. Now I do get I get like about 10 cents for every book y'all order. So it's not like Kryn's making it rain over here. The main reason why is that if I want authors to come on the podcast or come into our membership to speak, which John has done several times now, if I can show them our book sales, like this is how many books I can sell for you. Like if you want to come and talk to us, you know, we would love to have you, but you have to come inside of our membership. Most authors won't come into a membership unless you can sell a lot of books for them. And so whenever I can show like, hey, this author came in our membership, our members bought, 2,500 copies. They're going to be like, oh, we would love to come talk to you and do a Q&A just for your people. That's how I like to, show people that we are worth your time. The No BS Women, there's no better place in the world to spend your time than with us, because we are voracious readers and we do shit with your junk. All right. So back to, it's okay if you pre-order. Don't worry about it. You don't have to order another one. Just for my team, see if we can get the pre-order of this inside the faves page, and then we can tell everybody to go there to pre-order. All right. Back to the story. So you're sitting there at dinner. And you've got a lot of story around it's connection time, when dinner's over, I have to get back to the grind. I'm not going to get a break for another 3 hours. And that's really what's driving eating. Like, it sounds like, ooh, this tastes so good. Sounds like that. But then when you really kind of dig deep as to what's going on, you're like, yeah, there's a lot. So what we want to do, if we're going to set an easy goal around it, is not to say for the next week, I'm going to stop at enough. We're going to say for the next 7 days, here's what I'm going to do. On Monday and Thursday, I am going to stop at enough. I'm going to put my plate away. I'm coming back to the table. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to ask my kids about their day, or ask somebody at the table something they're super interested in, so I can show my brain how to talk without food. That's how we start overcoming this stuff. And then when you journal the next day, you journal about the experience. Was it like what you thought? The other night, you don't have to, but we start with something easy. So we start with a short time frame, and then we have to have an obvious first step. So the obvious first step is, I'm only going to do this on Monday and Thursday, and I'm going to serve myself less, or I'm going to leave bites behind, or I'm just going to stop it enough. I'll take my plate away so that I'm not tempted with my plate in front of me. I'll come back and I will start by talking to, Sally over here about the new Barbie movie. That's how you break it down. To bust a pattern. Then you put the obvious next step is like, okay, once I do that and I give my brain relief, we don't even have to do it for another 3 days. We can eat all we want if we want to. We might not want to, but we can. Then the next day you write about, was it as hard as I thought? What went better than I thought? What would I like to change for Thursday? That's how you break patterns. This assessments start helping you break things down. The other thing, just so I can finish it up, is he also said easy goals are not expensive. Like, they don't require you to go out and buy a bunch of shit. Easy goals match your current schedule. So if we were going to take family time, you were probably going to want to pick the 2 days during the week that, like, you're not going to pick 2 days where you're coming in hot, stressed out. You want to pick 2 days that you are usually not as triggered, or maybe you just pick one day, but you're looking for the easy days. And then the last one is easy goals don't feel like they're good enough. And I was like, oh my God, preach it, John Acuff. How many times have I told y'all that when a doable goal, we call them doable goals, a doable goal often triggers it's not going to be good enough. So we're going to get good at overriding our not good enough shit instead of trying to get better at being perfect. I would much rather you get better at your thinking things aren't good enough than trying to become the perfect perfectionist. Y'all have been trying to do that forever and it sucks. All right. What's the next thing? So we're going to look at our assessment. We're going to celebrate our threes. We're going to look at our ones and say, I need ones. I should always have ones. Like it's rare that you're like, I can't even imagine ever having all threes for myself. If I did that assessment every week, every month, I would never be all threes. I would always have a mix of ones, twos, and threes because that's life. Seasons change. Schedules change. Wants, needs, and desires change. Goals change. And as all that's shifting in life, those will shift too. We just want to be keeping track of it because the assessment helps us have guardrails so that we're not running off the road all the damn time. And then we want to measure ourselves against how we're getting better, not measuring ourselves against who we think we should be. So a lot of you make this mistake. You measure yourself against this version of you that you aren't yet. Well, she, like future self, she's doing all these things. I want you to use future self to help you chart where you want to go, like how to make your plans. But I don't want you comparing yourself to her. Because usually what happens is when we obsess over what future you would be doing, we feel worthless. We feel not good enough. We feel like there's lack in us. So what we want to do is we want to flip it. We want to compare ourselves to who we've been recently. What is different? What is changing? What's a little bit better? How are we improving? And I really thought about this. One of the things that I don't talk about all the time, but when I was losing weight, I was really thinking about, did I spend a lot of time thinking about my future self? And I really didn't. Like, I used my future self to figure out my whys and the habits that I was going to need to create over time so I could be on track for someone. But the daily, I didn't think about her hardly ever. You know who I thought about? What did I do today? It's a little bit better than yesterday. Like, I did that all the time. I really made it my mission to never miss a moment when I did something better. I celebrated myself. I internally high-fived myself every single time I did something really small because I knew in my gut that one of the reasons why I was overweight is because I never celebrated myself. I always thought I was not good enough. And the only way to overcome that story was to start showing myself the things that I was doing, not to overly focus on where I wasn't yet. And then the last thing is some of you are thinking about, like, did I pick the right thing to work on? There is no right thing to work on. That is the biggest myth. That's like the Bigfoot. Like, you could be on the eternal hunt for Bigfoot. We can't even say aliens anymore. Now we know that there's been aliens. But we really don't have the Bigfoot just yet. And for a lot of you, you keep waiting for that. I'm just going to tell you right now, whatever you pick, do you know how you know if it's the right one? It's because you've decided that it is. This is the one. And the criteria about it gets to be anything you want. It can be because it feels right. It can be because it's the easiest. It could be because it's challenging and you are up for a challenge. You may be in the point in your weight loss where you're like, I love the challenge. I don't need the easy stuff anymore. It can be for any reason. Just decide, come up with your reason, and then quit thinking about it and start doing. And that's it. All right, let me answer a few questions. Seems like I can find the pattern at a tactical level, but have a hard time finding the thoughts behind it. Maybe I'm not digging deep enough, or maybe it's simpler than I'm making it. It's probably simpler. Alice, can you just post the pattern? And I'll give you a question. Corinne, what is your nail polish color and brand? This is Dip Powder. I don't really know. Actually, this is bubble bath with the chrome on top, chrome overlay. I love how y'all always ask me stuff about my beauty. When I try to celebrate, but I don't know the brand. I just know it's called bubble bath. When I try to celebrate myself and assess what I'm doing better than yesterday, a thought comes up, which is, yes, but don't lie to yourself. You're not losing as you want. What do you suggest to me? So here's what I would tell myself. It's not lying to celebrate my success. Just because I'm not where I want to be doesn't mean that this wasn't good. They both exist. I'd like to be here. And this is also a good indicator that I'm on the right path. That's it. I've discovered that I'm a perfectionist. I'm working on that. I'm finding that even on good days and weeks, I'm kind of sabotaging myself on purpose just so I'll have ones and can have something to work on. How do I avoid this? Just tell yourself, I can actually work on threes. I don't really understand. Like, you'll have to tell me how you're sabotaging yourself. Like, are you real? Like, this is what sabotaging yourself like this would be like. Oh my gosh, I need something to work on. So I better go overeat all this week so next week I can work on overeating. Are you doing that, anonymous? Tell me in the Q&A if that's what you're doing. Because if you're not doing that, it's not sabotage. Sabotage is like a purposeful undermining of yourself. Like you have a good reason to do it. But if it's literally just like you could just tell yourself, I can work on anything. I can rate myself straight ones if I want to and work on stuff. I don't have to actually go overeat to work on overeating. I took a hiatus of planning and assessing when I left my fiance. When I do this assessment, should I wait until I have a week of planning and assessing under my belt or just start from where I am knowing there will be all ones and just pick one and two? How do I get over the overwhelm, guilty feelings I have that I broke a 139-day stretch of planning? I don't understand why you would feel guilty about not doing 139. Nobody loses weight because of streaks. There's plenty of people in here with like 500-day streaks of planning and assessing, but they didn't dig into, like they just kept planning and assessing and kept the same percentages. There's no glory in streaks. I don't even understand. Like some of you like the check marks. Here's the benefit of a streak is if you like check marks, it gives you a dopamine hit. But if you don't get them, you know, you could always just say like, now I'm on day 140 if you want to. There's no rules to streaks. But I would like to know, why am I guilty? Your thing is guilty that I broke 139-day streak. What did you just say? I'm starting over. 140, here we come. The good news is when you've had 139 days, and there's a lot of science behind this about never starting streaks over. And a lot of apps I have, they don't do that either. It's like they try not to start you over because they know how the brains work. What they actually do is they say, you are going to pick up where you left off because the learning that you acquired during the 139 can't be erased because you took 6 months off of not planning and assessing. You still have the learning. Like most of you forget this part is that learning can't be like when y'all say, I'm starting over. If I gain 10 pounds, I've undone all the work. You need to journal on that. What's not undone? Because what you learned to get where you were can't be undone. You can have judgment about it. You can be like, I shouldn't have. Like you can be clouded with judgment and shit. But the learning still is in your brain. That didn't go away and evaporate. And nobody has to start streaks. Yeah, somebody's like, what? You don't have to start a streak over? Newer science actually says don't start streaks over. Say things like, 25 out of 30 days, I did this. And then next month, if you're going to start over for the month, because you're like, oh, it's a new period of collection, that's fine. But if we're actually talking about streaks for a year, they always just say, like, if you miss, say you miss 10 days, say you're going to walk every day for a year. Then, and say you walk 149 straight days and you miss days 150 through 160. Then rather than starting over, because most people have a really hard time starting over. they say, then now we just start adding to the streak. When I pick back up, now 150 is done. Your goal may be to get it consistent, but you don't have to start over. All right. I don't remember the question. I think we cleared it. Anonymous. Yep. And eating past enough. Let me see if I can find that question. So I'm finding that even on good days and weeks, I'm sabotaging myself. So I'm eating past enough. So this is what I need to know, Anonymous. So you feel like you go into the week thinking, oh, I have nothing to work on. I'm going to eat past enough all week long so that I have something to work on next week. That would be sabotage. If you're just eating past enough, we just need to know why you're eating past enough. Like now, if it's because you feel like I didn't do it something else perfectly and now I'm eating past enough, that's not exactly sabotage. That's you needing to deal with what does not doing this have to do with me eating past enough? Is it because I don't want to feel bad? Well, if you don't want to feel bad, then how about we just work on not feeling bad about something instead of like, well, I don't want to feel bad. And rather than changing my opinion or my perception of what's going on, now I'm just going to eat more food. So work on that. I'm not comfortable celebrating myself. I feel like celebrating myself is bragging. That is female conditioning. There's a lot of science behind this now that females are socialized. Like you rarely hear a man say that. Like if a man walked into a room full of other men and he was just like, hey, I just want to let everybody know I got a promotion. We wouldn't be like bragging. They don't high five, fist pump. Let's go get a beer. This is great. You walk in and you say like, hey, and we're not even walking into a room. This is what's so funny. Bragging. This is what bragging is, Kim. Bragging is making sure you tell other people something you've done in an effort to make sure they feel less than. You are not bragging. We can't even get you to tell you something good so you can feel better. All I'm talking about when it comes to celebrating you do not have to do it publicly. The first thing y'all need to learn how to do is to celebrate in your head. It's the only place that matters. If you want to do it publicly, great. If you don't want to do it publicly, start within your head where no one else fucking hears it. I have a pattern of overeating on the weekends. I've noticed, I have been working on it for more than a year, but I haven't noticed any real change. My discovery worksheets, all day, the same thing. It just feels less important on weekends. Any ideas on what to try? I both eat past enough and don't wait for hunger. Yeah, you got to quit trying not to stay. The overeating, you need to not focus on the overeating on the weekends. Now, what I need you to do is spend this weekend writing about what is the food doing for you? It feels less important on the weekends because it's probably doing something for you. It's either providing relaxation, providing fun and entertainment. So sometimes when we overeat on weekends, it's because during the week, we are pretty strict with ourselves. We're very regimented. And it works during the week. And then on the weekends, we're very tired of our regimen. And so you might need like maybe a little bit more fun, maybe a little bit more flexibility, a little less rigidity during the week so that you're not having to do all of it on the weekend. We need to find the root cause of what's going on, of why weekends you want to overeat. And this is what I was saying about the assessments. We have to dig underneath because what's happening, Lioness, is y'all try to just keep doing strategies on top of not fulfilling the original need you needed. So if on the weekends you're needing relaxation and you're needing more freedom, then you're trying to just follow the basics. Then what we need to do is like, why aren't I relaxed on the weekends without food? What happens when I don't have food to relax me? Why do I feel like structure on the weekend is hard, unfair, too much? If I'm like wanting so much freedom on the weekend. Where am I lacking freedom during my week? And how can I start giving myself that so I'm not pent up for it by the weekend? And let's do one more. I just consume all the information, if not even filled out one sheet in 8 months. I feel like such a failure. Okay, so here's my question. Can you feel like a failure and go fill out a sheet right now? If you can be on this call, you could have done a daily plan, a worksheet. You could have done the assessment. You're not a failure. This is the thing. I don't know why y'all keep calling yourselves failures. You know what you are? Not doing, which is very different than a failure. Failures are people who are attempting, trying, and it's not working. And that's just a fail. That doesn't mean you are a failure. Right now, you're not failing. You're in inaction. Does that feel better? I mean, sometimes it just feels better to like say like, oh, I'm not even failing. I must not be a failure. I'm just in inaction. And I wonder why. Like I would, and like, I know that feeling like a failure, like if you think you're going to do it wrong, and the first thing you're going to think is when you do it wrong, that you're going to label yourself as a failure, you will not want to do anything. The first thing we have to do is break the habit of thinking that you're a failure. You're just not doing something right now. That's it. That doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you anything. You just got to decide, what do you want to do with this? If I was you, I might take the relationships course and work on the relationship with you. We have a relationships course. We have a self-love course. Like sometimes some of you, this is a hard pill to swallow. When you are trapped in your self-loathing, and I mean trapped in it, just kind of like I was a couple years ago with the business where I was so down and out. You know what I had to do that year? I put the brakes on several things in the business. And I focused on Corinne. There were things I wanted to do in this business and ways I wanted to grow. And I purposely chose not to that year because there were bigger fish to fry. And this is not for all of you, but for some of you, if all you're doing is sitting around and you're in inaction, and it's because you're so down on yourself and you're so hard on yourself, before you can lose weight, you've got to lose the weight of self-judgment. And so I would take a self-love course. I would take the relationships course. I would work on you so that you can feel better. And when you feel better, you're open to releasing the need for so much food. You have the capacity to talk to yourself the way you need to talk to yourself. It doesn't mean it's going to wipe away all of the shitty thoughts and stuff. It's just going to make it to where now you can hear shitty thoughts and just not believe them all the time. You now, like, I want you all to learn the beauty of noticing thinking and then deciding what you want to do with it. Is this good enough? Is this thought good enough to act on? If it's not, like, this thought is up for debate. Or I know what I'm going to do. And sometimes I just think some shit. I just want all of you to get there. That's a pretty fucking good life. Because you're going to have 60,000 thoughts a day, half of which are not pleasant. You'll have 60,000 thoughts a day. 30,000 of them are just straight dope negative. That is just the way the brain is designed. There's no getting around that part. It's always finding problems. It's always scanning for danger. It's looking for overwhelm. It's looking for all the things. 20 more thousand of them are pretty benign. Kind of useless. Just not exciting. Oh yeah, I got to do that. I wish that didn't happen. And 10,000 of them a day are focused, purposeful. Like, go check your calendar. You don't want to miss a meeting. Well, let's say 9,950 of them are purposeful and focused. And about 50 thoughts a day are the ones that you catch yourself liking you. You're positive. That's most of us. Welcome to the club. I just want all of you to get to where only half of the thoughts are negative. Not most of them. Okay. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all on Sunday for coaching. Bye, y'all.